deliberate more time towards worry. And I appreciated that. I wish I could have as well. Just not the way that passage went. So this morning, we're going to spend the entire time on worry. And so if you're a worrier, please don't worry about the message we're going to have on worry. Good. So, I hope you're encouraged by that. Know that it's something that we all struggle with. Everyone in this room is affected by worry. And the reason I can say that, even though if you might not come to that realization in your life yet, but the reason I can say that is because worry is the lack of trusting God. And certainly we all would agree with that, that there are times that I don't trust God, and that would be considered worry. And so we would all agree with that synopsis. So we'll spend some time this morning explaining what worry is, looking into it from a biblical perspective. And hopefully at the end, those that struggle with this, some of you that struggle more than most, that you might feel encouraged. You might feel uplifted. You might feel strengthened, not burdened for another obligation you have, but in strengthened and encouraged in the Lord that this is something God will give you grace on. This is something He can give you victory through, and not through more worry, but through less worry and more trust. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Father, we come before You this evening, or this morning, humbled. Father, we realize that from time to time we try to be good and show that we're capable of being good and try to even make You happy with our goodness and our obedience and our surrender that we might feel like we have. And Father, we realize that that is futile. Lord, that we are never going to be good, and the sign of this failure is just seen so clearly in worry. We all do it. We all worry. We all have time to time where we are not putting our trust in You. If this isn't monthly, it's weekly. If this isn't weekly, it's daily. If this isn't daily, it's hourly for most of us. And Father, we come before You, coming before You, realizing that, Lord, You are our Savior, that You've saved us from our sin. You've forgiven us from all our debt, and our acceptance with You is found not in our righteousness, but in Your works and Your righteousness. With that in mind, knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that You find favor in us because of our faith in You, we come and we acknowledge our failures. We ask You to reveal our shortcomings. As difficult as it might be, but Lord, it's less difficult knowing that You saved us, and knowing that You will not judge us for our failures, because we've already been judged, been found faithful by our faith in You. Father, we give You the praise. I pray that You bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Children may be dismissed to children's church. This morning's message we're going to be looking at, sorry Clark, we're not going to have any one specific verse that we're reading. Clark just does such a good job with his Disneyland voice. I just heard, if you didn't know this, he just told me this last night, that he is the voice of the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department. Yeah, so reach over there and a little pat on the back. So if you ever hear anything, from the San Bernardino Police Department, I guess they use his beautiful speaking voice. So thank you for that. I don't know. He does really well with compliments, by the way. I'm going to get him a sling one of these days. I'm afraid he's going to hurt his arm. Sorry, that comes around. And goes. It just always goes there, doesn't it? I intended it as something nice, and sorry. All right, 4 o'clock. I was watching this comedy, and it was talking about a man who is a worrier, And it was within the comedy that, you know, the man worried about this, that, and the other and drove him crazy and drove everyone else crazy. Have you ever had a worrier drive you crazy? Don't raise your hands, fry your spouse. But yeah, you know, it can be annoying. And this person, they showed that this person had somebody else with him now. And they introduced the person as the person he hired to worry for him. I don't know that that actually would work. It maybe sounds good, but I think in actuality, if we hired somebody to worry for us, those of us who are worriers, what would we probably do? Worry more if he's, worry about if he's... Yeah, that's right. We would worry if he's worrying correctly. That's exactly right. And the reality is that we all struggle with worry, don't we? We do. We struggle with different degrees of worry. I know that I struggle with worry. You know, I have three kids about to go to college, and I did the math. Here's how it works out. We have 7 years of college we have to pay for. One of those years includes three being at college at the same time. Three of those years include two kids being in college at the same time, and three of those years are just one in college. So that in itself is enough to keep you up at night worrying about how that is going to happen. And I find myself this week, as I was spending time studying this passage, I would in my flesh, I would say I'm not a worrier. I don't know if you would as well, but that's what I would say. And then through the week, I would find myself concerned, right? You know, planning about things. You know, and these are things that are good. But then at the end of my concern or my planning, I would go too far and I would think, was that trusting God or was that trusting myself? And it was amazing, to be quite honest with you. It was amazing how often I found myself trusting in myself and not trusting in God. So if I'm trusting in myself, we're going to assume that would be called what? Worry, yes. So this morning we're going to spend some time trying to understand this aspect of worry and understand more about that. I understand a little bit that those of us who probably worry more than others, when you hear a message on worry, and we say this tongue-in-cheek, but it causes us to worry more, right? It does, because then we say, I know I shouldn't be worrying, and we start putting condemnation on ourselves and feeling like, you know, this is something I have to get control of, it's something I have to do, and now the source of our worry in trying to trust God in that becomes more worry in itself. So it just regenerates itself. So understand we do not want to do that this morning. The resolution to our worry is not bucking up. It is not trying harder. It is not making yourself do something that you don't feel like doing. No. The source of fixing our worry is Christ. It. That's the source of fixing our worry. It's Christ. And we need to learn how to turn our eyes to Him instead of turning our eyes to ourselves. That is incredibly difficult. As you have put a lifetime in learning how to do something one way, changing that, no matter what it is, no matter how illogical it is to worry, changing that is very, very difficult. And the way we're going to change that, the way the Bible lays that out for us to change, is by reminding ourselves how much God loves us and how sovereign He is. Those two combined mean that we can trust Him. And if we just trust Him, He'll give us the grace we need to overcome our fears and worries. Amen? Amen. So let's try it and see what happens and see if we can not worry about trusting God. There you go. First thing we're going to look at this morning is we're going to look at the power of worry. Is there power in worry? Is worry powerful? Absolutely. Worry is powerful. Worry is attractive. Worry is devastating. Worry is it draws things in. In I don't know if you know the word metastasize. That's a linguistic word we use. It can be used in other things as well. But it metastasizes. It starts at one thing and just sucks in everything else, and can end up being something totally different. You start with worrying about A, and now you're afraid of 20 different things. And this is the power of worry. We're going to look at it. Before we get to that part of it, I want to understand what the world thinks about worry. Now, we talked a little bit about what the world thinks about worry last week, and we did discuss worry. And the world basically tells us that you should worry's not real. It's just the power of positive thinking. Take your mind off worry and put it on something else. That's terrible advice. Terrible advice. I don't care who gave it to you. I apologize if it was somebody that you respected very highly. It's just bad advice. That is not what the Bible says. But I'm going to give you an example of what the world is saying. Now, this is something I found in a blog, and it's from a psychiatrist. But now here's a twist. It is a Christian who is a psychiatrist. So this is something I want you to read, want you to understand. I am not standing up here and saying there is ever such a thing as Christian psychiatry. That is not something I am saying. I think there's Christian discipleship, where we open up the Bible and learn what the Bible says about our problem. But psychiatry is a different philosophy. It's a different theology. And I do not believe that those two mix. But this guy is a Christian who is a psychiatrist. And we're going to listen to what this gentleman says. And it's very interesting, very eye-opening about worry and fear. He says this. Says a person with a mood or an anxiety disorder, a person that worries a lot, right, has a physical condition that prevents them from controlling their thoughts. Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate you put that up there. Good. From controlling their thoughts. They cannot stop worrying even if they desperately wanted to. To tell them this is a sign of willful, repetitive sin is not only untrue, but deeply offensive. So this man, because of his psychology, is disagreeing with the Bible. I just want you to understand that. Does that make sense? This man is saying that because of his psychology, what he learned through Freud, the Bible is no longer true with regard to these people who are sick, as he calls it. He doesn't call it sin. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have problems in certain areas, some more than others. The struggles I have are different than the struggles you have. Does that make sense? So I struggle with this set of issues. You struggle with another set of issues. But my set of issues I struggle with are just sinful issues of the mind, the same as everyone else's. Now, there are medical issues. I'm not saying that. And if you feel like there's something that has come up in your mind that all of a sudden you're worrying and you have these things that have never been there before, you need to go to the doctor. But we'll talk about that a little while later. But he goes on. He says, it has led, listen to this, it's not just that calling it sin is deeply offensive. He goes on, he says, it has led many of my patients to believe that they have lost their salvation or committed the unpardonable sin. Well, the problem isn't talking about sin. The problem is the gospel, right? They don't understand the gospel and how they're forgiven for their sins. That's the problem. He's not seeing that. This is, of course, compounds their anxiety. Well, I'm sure it does. Well, now he goes on and he says this about 2 Corinthians 10:5. Now, this is a verse now out of the Bible. He says, the same condition applies. Is it in there? No. The same condition applies to the use of 2 Corinthians 10:5. In the verse, oh, thank you. And the verse says that we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's a great verse. I'm going to use the illustration of this in this sermon. Great verse. And he goes on and says, a person with a mood disorder is physically unable to obey this command because their chemical imbalance makes it impossible to control their thought. And this is what the world says. The phrase they're using there, chemical imbalance, is something that they don't have a test for. It's an assumption that there's a chemical imbalance. You should go to the doctor. You should have things checked out. But if that doctor doesn't have a test for that, I would think twice about that. So these are what he's calling a chemical disorder. Well, this is what the world thinks about worry. Now, let's look and see what worry is not. So if we say that we worry, and we can worry, and certainly we do worry, what's not included in worry? Well, worry is not concern. Worry is not foresight. It is not preparation for the future. Worry is not making plans or taking appropriate precautions. Planning is not sin. Does that make sense? So we're not by any means saying that if you're a planner, you are a sinner. No, that's not true. You should be planning. But now here's what we're saying. That those of us who are worriers, and I would say most of us are in that category, there's a very, very thin line between planning and worrying. And what that line is when we try to control that plan. We say there's a plan, we say that I want to do that, and when I try to control that, now I'm taking that out of God's hands, and I'm no longer saying this belongs to you, this belongs to me. So the question you might ask in that is, after I'm planning, where do I start worrying? Where is the planning? Is if I am trusting God. So when you're planning and you wonder, is this worry or is this plan? Ask, am I trusting God? And if the answer is no, which it does happen from time to time, then you know that's worry, and you know that that's okay. God's forgiven you from that sin. We just have to ask Him to forgive us and acknowledge that that's what it is. Well, that's what worry's not. What is worry? Well, what is worry? And I asked our youth group this, and what's worry? And they gave me a great illustration or a great example. They said worry is not trusting God. Is that a good definition? Well, it is. It's a good explanation of what worry is. But to define worry, we're going to look at the word fear. First, starting with fear. Fear is to be, now this is just, we're building a foundation. Fear is to be afraid of something or someone that is going to hurt us. We understand that, right? You know, I can have a fear that someone is going to shoot me with a gun, right? I could, if somebody is holding a gun looking at me, well, I'm afraid, right? Should I not be afraid? I mean, is that true fear? Yeah, it's fear. I am, you know, somebody's holding a gun at me, he's pointed, I'm afraid they're going to point that trigger and shoot me. That is fear. However, worry is something different. Worry is that I'm afraid that someone might go grab a gun, which they don't even have, and the person isn't even there, and I'm worried that they will shoot me, and the problem doesn't even exist yet. That is worry, that you're afraid of something that doesn't exist. Here's another definition. Worry is the fearing of something that has not been realized. Fearing is something that has not been realized. It is the fear of something that hasn't happened yet. It's taking concern, preparation, making plans, and trying to control that. And that turns into worry. We have three kids wanting to go to college. My fear is that they don't get a college education. That's my fear. My worry is how I'm going to pay for it. Does that make sense? So the fear is that I want them to have a college degree. When we're gone, Tamara and I are gone, they're educated so they can provide for themselves. That's my fear. I want them to be educated. But the worry is how do I pay for that? How do I come up with money that just doesn't exist? Well, you know, we've done that for 2 years so far. God's provided, so maybe I should stop and let Him provide again. Amen? Amen. That would be trusting God instead of my worry. I found this illustration. You'll like this. Found this illustration of worry. Have you ever heard how much water is actually in fog? You ever heard how much water is actually in fog? Here's an interesting story. You'll like that. If you take a 7-city block and cover it 100 feet deep with fog, and not light fog, but rim fog, you know, dense fog, in that 7-block, 100 feet area of fog would compose of, now just guess in your mind, how much water do you think it would compose of? Now it's going to compose of 60,000 million drops. How much water do you think it is? One glass. It might be a big glass, I don't know. But one glass of water will allow enough water to have fog for a 7-block, 100 feet high, dense fog. There is absolutely nothing in there. So fog is, in essence, worry. It's an illustration of worry. It's something that looks bad. It's something that we think we can hold on to, but really there's nothing there. It's just air with a lot of floating water molecules in there. Well, if you were to ask certain people if worry is sin, I think you would get different answers, wouldn't you? You know, you would ask some and they would say, no, worry's not a sin. It's a neurosis. It's you know, a mental disease. It's something you can't help. And I'm not saying if you have something going on in your brain, you shouldn't go to the doctor. You should go to the doctor. You should go to the doctor and get tested for that. I am saying that. But outside of that, outside of those tests, and there's nothing, you know, you have no thyroid issues or no, you know, something that would cause you to be having mental problems from a medical position, then you look at worry. And worry is a sin. Even if that is an issue, you still have to deal with the fact that worry is a sin. John MacArthur says this, and I appreciate this definition of worry. It is a sin because it is equivalent of saying, there it is, equivalent of saying, God, I know you mean well by what you say, but I'm not just sure you can pull it off. Kind of what the person said about the passage in 2 Corinthians 10:5. God, I know you mean well, but in this case, I know more than you. Wow, right? Wow. I'm a little afraid at that point. William Ng, I don't know how you pronounce that last name, said this, worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due. Well, that's good, isn't it? Worry's interest paid on trouble before it's due. And another writer says this, and this is something that sticks in my mind more about worry. Worry is a thin stream of fear that trickles through the mind. If encouraged, it will cut a channel so wide that all other thoughts will be drowned in it. That's a good definition of worry, isn't it? That's a good definition of worry. Worry is dangerous because it never stays put. It always sucks in other things. It always does. And so the more we worry, the more we allow our mind to be off in that field, we are going to start trying to draw other things into that. There was an illustration in seminary that they were describing worry, and it was really good. And it was a guy that was in an accident, a car accident, near a bridge. And because this man was in a car accident, he started being afraid of, you know, dying and getting into another accident. So he started being afraid of all kinds of things. He didn't want to get in the car anymore because he was afraid of an accident. He didn't want to drive anymore because he was afraid of an accident. He didn't want he even started getting afraid of bridges because there was a bridge by the accident. So he didn't want to get into an accident and then pushed over a bridge. And so it went so far that this gentleman couldn't even walk on a bridge, because his fears have metastasized and started bringing in so many other things, because he realized he couldn't control anything. And so he therefore started controlling everything. And, you know, it was a fear of cars, it was a fear of driving, it was a fear of bridges, and it just goes on and on and on. And that's what it does in our lives. Matthew 6:34 says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough cares of its own." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications." It goes on. Scripture is clear. These are verses we're going to spend more time on here in a minute. But Scripture is clear that we shouldn't worry. Other than Scripture telling us we shouldn't worry, and obviously we understand that, what's another reason why we shouldn't worry? I mean, what's something bad? What can happen with worry? Well, worry can be life-dominating. It can dominate our life. Like we said, it can start taking over. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Be encouraged one another day after day, as long as it is called day, so that no one of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Sin in itself, any sin you might look at, sin in itself is dangerous. It's destructive. There are no little baby sins. There's a passage in I think it's Psalms that talks about beware of the little foxes. It's the little foxes that destroy the vineyards. It's not the big foxes. Why is that? Because we don't see the little foxes. They're cute. They're cuddly. Certainly we don't have a problem with those. We do the same thing with sin, right? Well, it's a little sin. It's just a little worry. Oh, it's all right. I worry about my kids. That just means I love them. Right? Well, it's all right that I worry about my job. It just means I take it seriously. Then, right? It just consumes you. And these are things, sin is dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And then worry is one of the reasons why worry is dangerous to life-dominating sin is because worry is controlling. If you worry, that means you're going to try to control the situation. Does that mean make sense? And have you ever thought about control? Have you ever thought about control? Honestly, just sit down and thought about anything that you're trying to control. I'm trying to control money. Trying to control finances. I'm trying to control my kids' safety. I'm trying to control my job. I'm trying to control, you know, whatever it might be. Have you ever thought about that concept of control? It's what? It's a figment of our imagination, right? Control is a figment of our imagination. The more we try to control something, the more we realize what? Can't. We are out of control. And you know in the flesh what that causes us to do? In the flesh, it causes us to try to what? Control more, because it's irrational. When we worry, problem with worry is it's sin, but it also is a control issue. And when we realize we are out of control, instead of causing us to turn to Jesus in the flesh, it causes us to just try to control more. And then trying to control more eventually leads to emotional problems. It does. It leads to all kinds of emotional problems, of which I can't even cover in this message, but, you know, depression and stress and fears and anxieties and all of these things are all byproducts of worry. you know, I'm trying, well, they're byproducts of control. I'm trying to control this situation. I can't control it, so it makes me sad. I try to control the situation. I can't control it. It makes me mad. I try to, you name the emotions. The emotions are going to be the gamut. There's all kinds of, and it's going to cause you eventually to have panic disorders or panic attacks. We don't call them panic disorders. Excuse me for that. Panic attacks. It'll cause that. It'll cause stress and high blood pressure and all of those things. It will cause that. It will cause you to feel like you're going crazy. Absolutely. Have you ever heard people come to you and say, I feel like I'm going crazy? This is what they're saying. Saying that I just can't control this, and I'm trying to control it more and more, and it's just uncontrollable, and it's a downward spiral of trusting in ourselves. And the more we do that, the more that it becomes life dominating. Well, point F was that fear and worry and fear are closely related. We've already talked about that. So I want to explain also, and I know this is a long definition of worry, I just want y'all to understand it. Also, there's wrong ways of dealing with worry, and I just want to cover that real quick. There's wrong ways of dealing with worry. Those who worry, who have deep-seated issues that have happened to them, they're trying to control, they end up having wrong views of God. It's natural. They would say, God doesn't love me, He doesn't protect me, He's not going to protect me from this, He's not going to keep this from happening, He obviously doesn't love me, because I've sinned, I'm not as lovable as someone else. And then you start going into that realm that God doesn't love you as much as someone else because you're not as good. And we just forget the gospel. And that is what happens with fear, that we try to handle it in the flesh, and it changes our view of God. Also, you know, another wrong way of dealing with it is just to change from having a negative attitude to a positive attitude. Well, that helps everything, doesn't it? Hey, this Mack truck's coming right at me, going to run over me. Hey, I'm having a great day. Well, I haven't changed anything. We still got to deal with the problem. The problem is that we're not trusting God. We're not trusting that God is good. We're not trusting that He's sovereign. So it doesn't change anything. We also could try to control it in the flesh. That's another way to deal with it wrongly. And then lastly, a lot of people, especially young kids, they find relief from this by self-medicating or by acting out. And this is a truth about worry. It goes that way. It is a very dangerous thing. Maybe that's something that's happened to you. There's just so much fear, so much worry, so much anxiety in your life. You just want it to go away. So you go to self-medication to try to make it go away. Well, the problem with self-medicating is that it goes away while we're under the influence. But then when we're no longer under the influence, it comes right back. We're still there. So the only answer to the problems that we have are Christ and understanding Him. Amen. All right. Well, before I get to how do we stop worrying, I want to just spend a second on talking about sin. Can I do that? Do you mind? Spend just 2 minutes talking about that. But it's really important. Okay, before we get to this, I want to make sure we all understand. Look, most of us are sitting here and we're talking about something that we all struggle with. And it's hard to talk about sin, isn't it? It is. We don't like talking about sin. We don't want to talk about sin. It's not comfortable. Because in our minds, we struggle with the gospel. We all do. And we struggle with the fact that we're forgiven, and it's okay to talk about our sin because we're forgiven, because then we struggle with the fact that my identity, in my mind, my identity is based on me being good. And that's what most of us struggle with. We struggle with self-righteousness. We struggle with our identity, being that we are a good person. And so if we start trying to lay out our sin, then we're exposing the failures of our identity. So we're no longer who we think we are. And that's scary. It's scary to expose the fact that we are not perfect, that we are sinners. That is scary. And guys, that's why the cross is so important. We can't go anywhere without bringing the cross with this right next to it. It's okay. Whatever you struggle with, you struggle with. I am not perfect. I'm a failure just as much as you. And what I struggle with is what I struggle with. And I am forgiven by the cross. You're forgiven by the cross. And now we can admit these things. We can go on and get victory over them in Christ. Amen? So let's go and get some victory. There we go. So those of you who might have been feeling condemnation, hopefully you don't feel condemnation. We can move forward and get some victory over trust. The second point is, is fear powerful? Is it powerful? Yes, it is. Absolutely. In the flesh, it's dominating. We can't control it. However, in the spirit, we can have power over worry by trusting God because He loves you. We can have power over fear by trusting God because He loves you. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have trusted Him as your Savior, He loves you now, not because you are good or any of your performance. He trusts you He loves you because of your faith in Him. He loves you because of Christ's righteousness. Let's move on and take a look at that. Matthew 6, 25 through 33 says this. First point we're going to look at is we should stop worrying and trust God because we are of great value to Him. We are of great value. Don't raise your hand. It's rhetorical. Have you ever struggled with, are you of great value? Don't raise your hand. But without raising your hand, have you ever struggled with are you of great value? I think we all have. We struggle with, are we of great value? I mean, are we just a waste of a life form here? Or are we significant? And you know what? We are significant, those that put their faith in Christ Jesus, because God says you are of great value. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor your body, as to what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Listen to this. Are you not worth much more than they? Are we more valuable to God than the birds? Yes, amen. Amen. I want more compassion. I want more conviction next time. We're going to ask that same question in a section. Give me more conviction. He didn't convince me. Verse 27. And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field, they do not toil or do not spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. Now listen to this. But if God clothes the grass of the field, who is what? Insignificant, right? Now this is where I'm going to want an answer. Be ready. Which is alive today and is thrown into the furnace, insignificant, will He not much more clothe you who are significant? Amen? You are significant. We are significant in Christ's eyes. We are important. He loves you deeply. You might feel like He doesn't. That is the world and flesh and the devil condemning you, causing you to believe a lie. It is not true. He provides for the birds of the air and He does all these things for them because that's who He is. So He will provide for you even more because He loves you. You're far greater, more value than the birds. Why is that? We were made in His image, and He sent His Son to die for us. Wow. That's how much He loves us. He loves us enough to die for us, to separate from His Father for a time just because He loved you. And because He loves us, because He thinks we're meaningful, He will always provide for us. Always provide for us. Now, I'm not saying He's not going to put you or allow situations that you don't like. Here's the thing we talked about last week. If God is sovereign, He is, and He is good, right? He is. Therefore, He knows more than us. Maybe? Sure? Partially true? Maybe a little bit true? Infinite true, right? We know this much, He knows infinite knowledge. So therefore, our will is going to be different than His will every time. Is that true? That is true. Because we are not infinite in knowledge as He is, so therefore we can't judge Him for what He gives us, but we can trust Him that He's going to provide and only give us good things. So it goes on, verse 31. He says, "Do not worry." I say, okay, why not? What should I do in its place? How do I stop worrying? Okay, here we go. How do we stop worrying? You ready for that? Does anybody here struggle with worry? Don't raise your hand. Any of you struggle with worrying? Has you ever prayed and asked God to keep you from worrying? You feel like you're a failure more because you can't stop worrying and your worry causes you to worry more, right? This is what He tells us to do. Instead of worrying, verse 31 says, "Do not worry." Okay, we got that. 33. "But seek first His kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Turn your eyes to Christ. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Trust Him and not yourself. Lean not on your own understanding. These are things that we do. Guys, we worry. I worry. But we know when we worry, what we've done is we've taken our eyes off Christ, right? Because if I was trusting God, I cannot worry. So therefore, if I am worried, I am taking my eyes off Christ. I admit that. I fail. I tried to trust myself. I didn't trust You. I thought I knew more than You, and I apologize for that. I go to the cross. I know that I'm forgiven. I enjoy the fact that I'm forgiven. And then I trust, in no condemnation, I trust that God is going to give me victory over my worry as long as I keep my eyes on Christ. But Peter was safe walking on the water, wasn't he? Peter was walking on the water all day long. He was bailing. Look at me, I'm walking on the water. And until he started looking down and thinking about, how am I walking on the water? Then he did what? Sank until he turned his eyes where? Back to Christ. And the idea is that we have to keep our eyes on Christ. That worry is when we take our eyes off. And the reality is that we worry more than we think. How do we know if we're worrying? Ask yourself, am I trusting God or am I trusting myself? Now, follow that with the gospel, though. Don't stop with that. Am I trusting myself? Am I trusting God? I need to trust God. But follow with the gospel. I'm forgiven of my sin. I can confess it, but I'm forgiven because Christ died for that sin as well. Well, we should stop sinning we should stop worrying. Trust God because He puts us in great value. But we should stop worrying and trusting because He loves us. 1 John 4:18 says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." This is a very difficult passage theologically. Theologically, it will kind of hurt your head a little bit. Let me try to explain it in the few minutes that we have. The fear that he's talking about is the fear that God is going to judge me according to my works. It's self-righteousness. It's legalism. So I am now afraid because I think that I'm a good person and I can do good things, that God is going to bless me when I'm being good, but he's going to punish me when I'm being bad. Well, he says, and he goes on, he says, but there is no punishment in love. Perfect love casts out fear. What does he mean by that? I understand that Christ died on the cross for my sins, and there is no condemnation for my failure. So there is nothing to fear. Amen? There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I have nothing to fear. So perfect love of Christ casts out my fear of Him being good or bad to me, or Him being bad to me. So if I'm not afraid of God ever being bad for me, if perfect love casts out that fear of Him being bad, now perfect love causes me to realize He is always going to do what is good for me. Amen? So I don't have to fear if God is going to be good. I have to trust that He will. So fear is out of the equation now. We're left with just trusting that God is good. Whoa. How do we do that? How do we trust God? Practical explanation. Point three, trusting God protects our mind from the effects of worry. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. We're going to end with this. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. How do we stop? How do we trust God? We say that I just need to trust Him. We say, well, but yeah, I'm having a hard time trusting Him. So we need to realize that He loves us. Yeah, I do that and it helps. We need to realize that He thinks highly of you. Yeah, I do that and that helps. Is there anything else? Yes, there's something else. You ready? This is deep. It's hard. It's complicated. You might not be able to do it. You ready? It's the last thing. Asking for help. Asking for help. And He will give it to you. Let's go and let's read Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, is he talking about all the things we just discussed about the power of worry? Is this what he's talking about? If I pray and ask God to help me, is he going to protect my mind from the power of worry? Is that what he's talking about? Amen, emphatically, 100%, without error. This is exactly what he's saying. Go to God, ask Him for help, trust Him, and He will protect your mind. Guys, there's crazy things that happen out there in fear. There's crazy things. Things I've seen, I've talked to people about, things you've seen, you know about. Fear is a life-dominating thing. There's victory over that. Is that easy? No, it's not. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. You might need to get some help. Might need to find a brother or a sister in the Lord that can lift you up, that can hold you side by side and help you, hold you accountable with this. The battle is in the mind. As we talked about 2 Corinthians 10:5, we need to take our thoughts captive into obedience of God. The battle is in the mind. Worry is about the mind. But you might need to get people around you to help you. You might need to let two or three people know, and godly people that can help lift you up and strengthen you through this. It's not easy. But God can do that. Listen to this. He says, be anxious for nothing. He says, don't fear. He says, stop worrying. How do you do that? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Okay. I want you to know I'm struggling with saying the word prayer here. And let me explain why. Do I believe in prayer? Absolutely. I believe in prayer emphatically. I believe that this is talking about prayer. I believe that prayer is the only thing that works. I believe that sometimes we have a misunderstanding of prayer. I don't want you to misunderstand what this passage is saying. It is not saying that you don't like something so you ask God to change it. That is not what prayer is. It's not prayer at all. Prayer is aligning our will with God's will. That's what prayer is. It's me going to God and saying, God, I am powerless, I am weak, I don't even know what your will is. I surrender and submit myself to you. Please help me. When you get to that point of humility, power of grace is going to come in and overwhelm you. Absolutely. That is what we should be praying. God, I am powerless. I am without control. I don't know how to handle this. I need your help. Pray that. Pray that every day. Pray that moment by moment. And God, by His grace, will strengthen you. Absolutely. Now, what litmus test do you use? The litmus test is you use, am I trusting myself? Or am I trusting God? So when you're going through life, you're looking at it, I'm trying to take my thought captive. I don't know if this is worry or if this is planning. So what's my litmus test? It is, am I trusting you or not? That's my litmus test. That's what gives them the password to come into your brain. Does that make sense? You do not let anything come into your brain that is not trusting God. So ask that. A thought comes in, you grab it. Hold it captive to the obedience of Christ. Is this trusting God or is this not? If it is, let it in. And God will, and listen to the beauty of this passage. It's amazing. God will protect your mind and guard your heart, Christ Jesus. And how do we set our mind so that we don't worry? How do we set our mind? It goes over in verse 8 and 9, and I'm out of time. I can't really go into that. But go over verses 8 and 9, and it tells you how to set your mind, what condition to put your mind in. In closing, those of you who are worriers, stop worrying. What? Now I'm going to worry more. No. Trust Christ. That was my joke. Trust Christ. You have power that in our God has given this tool belt that has incredible amount of power in it. You know, I like little cordless drills. Does anybody like those? I have a Milwaukee 18-volt cordless drill. Oh yeah, it's power, right? Oh, I can do all kinds of great things with that thing. You know, it's just like a regular drill, but it's cordless. I'm going to your house with it. I take it, and it does great things. It's powerful. The gospel has far more grace and power than that Makita 18-volt drill. I know it's hard to imagine. No, far more power. Far more power. We just have to activate it. How do we activate that power? Is by taking our thoughts captive, asking God for help, telling Him I can't do it, confessing my sin, asking for help, and trusting in Him and not myself. Amen? If we do that, God will give us grace. We will grow in that. But look, if you're struggling with stuff, you're struggling with these fears, don't be an island. Really don't. I know we don't want to tell people our failures because it's our identity thing. It really is. It's our self-righteousness. Well, I know that's hard. But start trying to remember that, hey, you're forgiven for that. You're no different than me. We're the same. We're at the cross. We're both just as bad. It's just your struggles are different than mine. And with that in mind, go tell somebody about your struggles. Don't be an island. This is the gift. This is grace that God has given you. Look around. That's grace. These people around you are God's grace in your life. Use them. Ask them to hold you up, and they will. I know them. They will hold you up. This is a great church. But if they don't know you're struggling, if they don't know how you feel, they can't help you. Look, we need to confess our sins. We need to go to Christ. We need to lean on Him and not ourselves. But you also need people around you. In conclusion, if you're not sure if it's worry or if it's preparation, you're not sure what that line is, ask yourself, is this trusting God or is it trusting myself? That'll help you figure out whether we're worrying or just doing our due diligence in preparing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, and we realize coming into this that we all fail You. Lord, we fail You in different ways, and Father, You've made a provision for that on the cross, and You know far beyond our what we know we have failed, and You even knew that before we failed. And Father, allow us to feel comfortable in Your forgiveness. Allow us to feel comfortable in the cross so that we can come and we can confess our worries, we can confess our fears, or we can confess them to other people. Ask them to hold us accountable, to give us strength. And Lord, that we can judge our thoughts. Remind ourselves that You love us and You love us deeply. That you found favor in us. And Lord, that all we have to do is trust You. And if we trust in You, the worries will go away. Father, we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here this evening, this morning. It was my pleasure having you. Thank you, veterans, for those who have served in the military. We appreciate your service. Hopefully you feel honored. But thank you for hearing God's Word. This is a message that really, something that touched me. I don't know how many of you struggle with that, but it was interesting for me to go through the week and realize, man, I do worry. I worry quite often. And that was good for me. It was refreshing. It was exhilarating. It caused me to know where I need to trust God more in my life. Hopefully this encourages you as well. Go with God and you're dismissed.